Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 283, Four Truths Jesus Taught About Disciple Making, Part 2. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, October 16th, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So I want to talk to you today. We want to try to finish up the message that we started last week. We were speaking about four truths that Jesus taught about disciple making. So we really didn't get into the four truths, but we did get the introduction in and threw a lot of popcorn around and had a little bit of fun in church. It's okay to have fun in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what I want to talk to you about is in the four Gospels, Jesus actually said quite a lot. He had a lot of amazing truths that he downloaded into his disciples. But all the while that he was with his disciples, he had one purpose. His purpose wasn't so much to speak to the crowds, although he did preach to the crowds. He had some really probably amazing meetings. You know, wouldn't you love to just be able to sit in on one of his meetings, you know, like maybe the Sermon on the Mount? I've been to that place quite a few times, and it's really a magnificent, beautiful place because it overlooks the Sea of Galilee. And you can, if you stretch your imagination and you're visionary and you're a visual, you can just almost see Jesus down the hill, preaching up the hill, and it's like a natural theater. So I mean, it just you can hear really well without microphones and without amplification and all of that kind of thing. So it's an amazing place. It'd be really wonderful to be in a place to really experience face-to-face with Jesus, what he did with his disciples, or to be there when he broke the bread and they fed 5,000 people and another time they fed 4,000 people. That'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? So you can go visit those places now. Of course, Jesus is not there in a physical way. He's still there in spirit, and sometimes you can feel his presence in places like that. But the wonderful thing is you don't have to go all the way to Israel to feel the presence of God. You can have his presence in your closet. You can have his presence in your kitchen. You can have his presence in your car. You can have his presence anywhere that you open your heart and begin to worship him. So, because when he went to the Father, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, but it's more than a comforter. He just sent somebody to be him to you anywhere that you are. So, like Jesus stuck with his disciples, he will stick with you in the person of his Holy Spirit, and he'll walk with you and talk with you and minister to you. So, what Pastor Sarah was sharing just a little bit ago, you know, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. He promised that. And the way that he keeps that presence there is to bring his Holy Spirit and put him in your life so that it's almost tangible. It's almost that you're able to reach out and feel it. But whether you feel it or not, the reality of him being with you is a great truth to have a revelation for. So if you don't ever get a revelation of anything else in the Bible, if you can get the revelation that he's with me, the Bible said Jesus would be called Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. It's the Hebrew for God with us. If you can get that revelation in your heart, you will never be alone. You might be attacked with loneliness, but you will never have to suffer loneliness because he's with you. And as we sang in the song, he's not just with you, he's for you too. So if God is for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? So it's a great, great way to live. So I hope that if you get nothing else from the message that today, that you walk out of this place and say, man, he's with me. And if he's with me, he's for me. And if he's for me, I've got it made. Amen? Praise the Lord. A lot of trouble and stuff out in the world, but you don't have to be under it. You can be on top of it. Amen? Be the head and not the tail. Be the above only. Don't get beneath it. Amen? Don't let the stuff around you get you down. Just rise up and be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in Luke 8, chapter 18, I'm going to kind of talk this mostly out of the book of Luke. But in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, we used this scripture last time. Just want to repeat it. Jesus said to his disciples, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. That's an interesting scripture. So what does that mean? That means God is expecting all of us to be proactive and engaged. Because if we're not proactive and engaged, we can lose any spiritual input or download or any spiritual kind of manifestation that we may have received. We can lose it. So we have a saying here in the U.S. We say, you know, use it or lose it, you know. You have to be engaged and you have to be proactive and you have to be on his team, his kingdom team, in order for you to continue to receive from him the things that you need. The Bible says that he will give you everything that you need that pertains to life and to godliness. So potentially, we have everything we need. So your bank account may be low, but potentially, because you have him, you have all you need, because he doesn't have any problem getting money to you. Sometimes, you know, it looks like there's a problem. And sometimes we're shaken by the things, the economy and the stuff that's going on. But we don't have to be, because if we really believe that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, or the Lord shall provide, as the Hebrew means, we can depend on him to come through even in tough times, because he's not bound by our economy. Inflation can go up, and it's a terrible thing. I mean, nobody wants to have it. This is election year. Hopefully, all of you will go out and do your civic duty and vote for people who have common sense about the economy, amen, and who make wise decisions about the economy. I'm not telling you exactly how to vote, but I should probably tell you how to vote. There's two sides, and you've got to pick your side, amen? And there's one side that stands for one thing, another side that stands for another thing. And you ought to be able to discern from what's going on around you which side you ought to pick, amen? Praise the Lord. If people are not doing godly things, if people are for murdering babies, if people are for transgender stuff, if people are for gay marriage, if people are for things that the Bible says are wrong, that should be a good signal to you that that's not the side to vote for. Amen? If candidates refuse to answer questions about godly issues, you already have their answer, right? So back there on the table, there's some voter guides. They're nonpartisan. They're not Republican and they're not Democrat. They were just questions that were sent to all the candidates. And the questions, you can read the questions and you can see how the candidates responded, and you get a chance to make a choice. So Pastor Karen and I, we already voted, because we can vote early here in Indiana. We did have to show our ID. We did have to prove who we were. And we're probably not going to vote often and early, but anyway, you should go vote either now or on November 8 when the election is, and let your voice be heard. You say, well, maybe my vote won't be counted. Well, you just can't take a chance. If you don't vote, for sure it's not going to be counted. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's enough political stuff. And by the way, we do have a lady coming here in November, as they mentioned in the announcements, who is going to be running for governor this next term. I think the governor's election is in 23. You'll get a chance to talk to somebody who potentially would be the governor of our state. Wouldn't that be awesome? Praise the Lord. So we should take advantage of things like that, and the church doesn't have to take a back seat or back down. You know, if they want to take away our 501c3 privileges or whatever, you know, have a whack at it. We aren't here because we get a tax break. We're here because we serve Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, we need to take a stand, and we need to be proactive, and we need to be engaged. I guess that's where I was talking. We need to be engaged spiritually, for sure. We need to be engaged in our families. We need to be engaged in our culture. We need to be engaged in our business, our workplace. We need to be engaged in our neighborhoods. We need to be engaged everywhere that we go, because that's why we were called. The Bible says we're supposed to be salt of the earth and light to the world. Amen. And if you're just hiding, you can't be that. Amen. So maybe you don't have that kind of personality, you know, that's out in people's face and everything like that. You don't have to. You just be you, but be engaged. Yes. Be a person of prayer. Be a person of faith. Share with everybody that you can. You know, even people who are maybe not A-type people have friends, or they can have friends anyway. They should have friends. And if you got some friends, you've got somebody you can talk to. Amen. So just share the things of God. Share the things of your personal convictions about where our country is going, and just be out there with it. And yeah, sure, you're going to get some rejection sometimes, but it's okay. That's part of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let it roll off of you and keep going. Glory to God. So to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. So we should listen to the teachings of Jesus so that we get more understanding, right? Does that make sense? That's one of the reasons why we encourage reading the Bible. It's not just reading the Bible, but you should meditate on the Word of God. Take in the teachings of Jesus and let understanding arise within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, because He's a great interpreter of the Word of God. Because sometimes people say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. Well, we've got all kinds of translations that are easier to understand than the old King James. So get one of those and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you about those verses that you read. And if you can't spend an hour a day in the Bible, you at least spend 5 minutes. You know, start somewhere and let the Word of God begin to minister to you. Praise the Lord. Lives have been changed on short scriptures that have been meditated upon. Your life can change. Your life can be transformed. And if you look at the Word of God with the thought, how can I apply this to my life? You'll be amazed what the Holy Spirit will do with that in your life. Praise the Lord. So I haven't done this perfectly, and I'm not pretending to be Mr. Perfect. But I do challenge myself to be in the Word of God every day. I don't always get into the Word of God every day like I should, but I challenge myself to do it. I challenge myself to read through the Bible every year. I do miss some chapters sometimes. You know, you get busy and you get traveling. It's hard to keep a schedule and things like that. But you can get a Bible reading plan and you can go for it. And, you know, if you get behind, just speed up and go to the day that you're on. And if you miss something, you'll catch it next year. Amen? Praise the Lord. But be purposing to be in the Word of God and let His teaching minister to you. Praise the Lord. Don't get so burdened with it that you just give up and quit and say, I can't do this because it's not working for me. It'll work for you. You can make it work for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what they think that they understand will be taken away. You don't want that to happen to you. That's not a good day. That's not a good week. It's not a good year when that's happening to you. Praise the Lord. So last week we got into the book. We talked about the great truth that Jesus told them, that the people who believe in Him would do the works that He did, and even greater works because He's gone to be with our Father. So I won't belabor that. If you missed that message, you can pick it up on our YouTube channel, or you can go to Facebook, or you can go to our podcast. Praise the Lord. But I want to start today with a scripture from Matthew chapter 9, and then we're going to bounce back to Luke. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus traveled through the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. He traveled through the towns. He taught in the synagogues. He preached the Word of God to them. He announced the good news of the kingdom, and He healed the sick. So Jesus did primarily three things when He was at the height of His ministry. He taught, He preached, and He healed. He taught, He preached, and He healed. So why are the disciples who recorded this making a big deal out of that? Because it's mentioned in several Gospels, and it's mentioned several times that this is what he did. Well, it's to give us a pattern for making disciples. If you want to make disciples, you can teach, you can preach, and you can heal the sick. It's a great way to make disciples, right? Because if we do those three things, we'll be doing the works of Jesus, right? So if we're supposed to do his works and even greater works because he's gone to the Father, we should at least start with his works. Amen? And his works are teach, preach, and minister healing. Teach, preach, and minister healing. So you say, well, I don't know the whole Bible. How can I teach somebody? What scripture do you know? Do you know John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a well-known scripture. If you know that scripture, that's one you can teach. It'll preach too. That's a good one to preach because God loves people. He loved the whole world and he loves you. You don't have to make it complicated. You know, preaching is basically just proclaiming what God said, proclaiming what Jesus said, proclaiming what the Word of God said. And it says in another place, everyone who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So today we're going to have a baptism. It's a wonderful thing. So the water doesn't save anybody. The water is cold. And if pastor holds you under a little too long, it becomes your grave. But the symbolism is this, that when we go down in the water, it's like going into the grave. And when we come out of the water, it's like being raised from the dead with new life and proclaiming to the world, I used to be this way, but now I'm following Jesus. And it's an amazing thing. It's a powerful thing. But you have to have the revelation of that in your heart. But it works and it preaches. So come and be saved and be baptized. Don't make it complicated. Peter said it this way in one place. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So it starts with where you believe. And the Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. That's how you get saved. It's not by being good. It's not by the works you do. It's not by how well you do the works. It's what you believe and what you've confessed over yourself. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't make it complicated. Just share what faith you have and what things you know with anybody that will listen. If you can find a listener, you got a winner. Amen? Because it's a seed of the word that's going into the heart of the person, and it's what the Holy Spirit does with that seed that counts. It's not how well you said it that counts. Amen? I know sometimes we just get intimidated and we think, I can't share with, I can't say, I don't know what to say. Just open your mouth. The Bible says he will fill it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So be bold and share what you know. Be yourself. You know, don't try to imitate somebody else. Just be yourself and share your faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. So everybody that has a hand, can you raise it, please? Okay, you got a hand. These hands were made for laying on people. I mean, not beating people. But the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe in the name of Jesus. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you say, well, what if it doesn't happen? I think we should think the other way. What if it does happen? Yes. Amen? Or let's watch this happen, because it's not the hand that makes it special. It's the power of God that comes when you lay the hand that's special. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes when you lay the hands because you're just being obedient to do what Jesus said to do. And if nothing else, and if you don't see the miracle, it's not on you, it's on him. Amen? He's the one who said, lay the hand. He's the one who said they would recover. You can't make them recover, but he can do a wonderful work if you'll just do the first part. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we make a lot of stuff complicated. We make teaching complicated. We make preaching complicated. And we make healing the sick complicated. It's not. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it's not sense. It's God's word. It's the truth. It's a truth that will set people free. Amen? Praise the Lord. So somebody said, I'm going to go out and try it. No, don't try it. Do not try this. Just go out and do this. Amen? And when you do it, he said, do the works of Jesus. Amen? He said, the people that follow me will do the works that I do and greater works. So don't, he didn't say, the people that follow me will try to do the works or will try doing this or try doing that. He said, do the works. Amen? Keep it simple, keep it direct, and just do it. And if you're shaking, do it shaking. It's okay. So if you have a friend you want to share with, and it's really hard to share with your friend, just say, this really intimidates me, but I have to share this with you. So, I mean, be honest about it. If you're a little bit intimidated by sharing with something, and most of the time, you know, people are waiting for you to say something because they know there's something weird about you. Amen? There's just something weird about those Christian people. They just, man, every time I get around them, I feel this something. They're probably feeling the Holy Spirit, and they don't know it. But they really want you to say something because they want to know what makes you tick. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, so we want to take a look at four truths that Jesus taught his disciples about discipleship and about disciple making. So I'm going to go to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, it says, these were his instructions to them. This is the disciples. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. So it's interesting here. Jesus didn't say, pray for a lot of people to be saved. Did he? He said, pray for workers to go into the field. He said, the harvest is great. Pray for workers. And then he said, now go and remember, I am sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. Don't take any money with you, or a traveler's bag, or an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anybody on the road. So that's an interesting set of statements. He says we have a great work to do. There's a great harvest out there. We should pray for more workers to do this work and to go get the harvest. And then we should go, and we might be lambs amongst wolves and not take any money or an extra pair of shoes and don't stop to greet anybody. So what does all that mean? Well, the first thing about it is it's urgent. If you don't read anything else into that scripture, you should read urgency into that scripture because time is ticking, man. You know, some people who were here yesterday, they're not here today anymore. And for them, it's too late to hear what you're hearing. And sometimes we only get one chance. We only get one shot at this, you know. Thankfully, God is merciful, and we can get more chances to talk to people and minister to people. Pastor Sarah was talking about, you know, ministering to somebody who was part of her client list that she was helping with their child. And that's a heavy thing, you know, just to think that maybe that father would have gone gone on without anybody talking to him about Jesus. But thankfully, God gave him a couple more chances to talk to him. Amen? And we're believing for his healing. We're believing for God to do a miracle in his life. Praise the Lord. So let's just stop and pray for him. What's his name? Clint. So, Father, we just pray for Clint today. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity that Sarah and Santos and Tanya had yesterday to minister to him and to his wife and to family members, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, that you will take the seeds that were sown and the ministry that was given, and, Father, that you will turn that into a great miracle for your kingdom, Lord, that you will raise this man up so he can father his young child and be a husband to his wife, and, Lord, that he can have many more years to do the things that you've called him to do. So we ask you to bless this family. We ask you to protect them. And we thank you for manifesting your power and your presence in his life and in his body right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you for a miracle, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's urgent. The harvest is great and the workers are few. And then he says it's a dangerous mission. You know, lambs among wolves is not a good thing. I used to raise sheep, so we didn't have any wolves, but we did have some coyotes once in a while, and protecting them was probably a little easier than it is in a desert where there's lots of predators and so forth. But the picture here is not a happy picture. You've all probably seen some of the safari adventure things that are on television or on YouTube or someplace. And lambs amongst wolf is not a good idea because it's going to be a wolf feast. So it's a dangerous mission. It's a urgent mission. The harvest is great. The workers are few. And he says, don't get encumbered with the stuff and don't be distracted. So he says, you know, it's dangerous. So keep your eyes open, I guess is the picture I get, you know. Be wise and, you know, just be aware of where you are and what you're doing when you're out there. And then he says, don't take any money with you or a traveler's bag or extra pair of sandals. It's like, you know, don't get weighed down with a lot of stuff. Yeah. So one of the problems with Christians is that it's easy to just get weighed down with the stuff. And then if God asks you to do something, you've got too much stuff. And you got to deal with the stuff before you can do the do, right? It's because things get in your way. And you get, your stuff can give you responsibility and encumber you. So Jesus sent his disciples out like this with nothing. Just think about it. They had to go to some other towns and just believe and just trust him that he was going to provide for them, right? As if they didn't take extra shoes or extra clothes or whatever, somebody's got to wash the dirty undies or whatever, you know. I don't know how they dealt with this exactly, but it was a demonstration and an illustration to them that they shouldn't get encumbered with the things of this world, right? And having that experience that they went out with nothing and came back rejoicing, it was a good experience because it taught them that they could just depend on God. Amen. So then he says, don't be distracted. He said, don't stop and greet anybody on the road. He's not saying be mean to people and don't be friendly to people. He's just saying, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. I mean, how easy is it to get distracted? Number one distraction, right? It's going bingy, bing, bing, ting, zing. I got Facebook messages on there already. I can, I even get previews of dings. But you can be distracted. You can be consumed. I mean, you could stay on Facebook and Twitter and all that nonsense all day long. Or it's easy to be in the news all day long because stuff is happening. Man, I got to know that. Maybe we don't need to know that. Have you ever thought about that? What did they do before they could know that? Texting and all of that stuff. We get encumbered and we get distracted. So we shouldn't. So it's urgent and we need to watch these things. Here's a statement by George Barna. George Barna is a researcher. This is what he said. He researches Christian, mostly Christian issues and cultural things. In the first 200 years, he said, America could count on the consistency of people's faith commitments. And with that, common views about morality, purpose, family, lifestyle, citizenship, and values. But as my recent worldview research clearly shows, the United States has become one of the largest and most important mission fields in the world. Think about that. We think that all the other nations are heathen, and he says America has become the biggest mission field, and he's researched it. So some countries in Africa, more than 50% of the people are already believers in Jesus, following after Jesus. There are large churches in Nigeria. My pastor friend visited a church that had 400,000 people under one roof. It was an amazing place, he said. The pastor, to get to the pulpit, he had to drive in an underground tunnel under this thing, and he would drive to the front to get there to the place where he's speaking from. That's crazy. I mean, their climate is such that maybe they didn't have walls in that place. I don't know. I didn't see there, and I didn't ask him the question, but... There are churches in places where you wouldn't expect there to be churches. Some of the biggest churches are in some of the islands of Indonesia. Amazing, amazing large churches. There are some. There was a pastor at the conference we were at just was that last week or the week before, in Nashville, at a discipleship conference. That man who spoke has 300,000, he was from Ghana, and he has 300,000 people in his church. And he says, we don't really count people, we usually just count leaders. That's amazing. And where is America? Why not here? Amen? So it's urgent. That's the message here. If it was urgent back in Jesus' time, then today in America, it's even more urgent, right? Okay, so what's the second thing that Jesus taught concerning disciples and making disciples? In verse 5, he said, whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be in this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Have you ever thought about that? You can bless somebody, and if they don't accept it, it comes back to you. If they'll receive it, they get blessed. But if they don't receive it, it's coming back. Sometimes you can even feel it come back, you know, if you've been rejected, you just... like it bounces off the wall or bounces off the person and comes back to you. Then he says, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. So the second thing that God is showing his disciples is that if he sends you out into the harvest field, he's going to provide for you. So some of us may be worried that, you know, if God tells me to do something and I want to do it, I may end up in the poorhouse. I might not have the resources to do what he asked me to do. But Jesus is teaching his disciples, look, if you become a disciple of mine, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. One time when they were traveling across the lake and they were talking to each other about some stuff, they were talking about somebody forgot to bring the bread. And he just said to them, hey, what's the matter with you guys? Don't you remember when I fed the 4,000 with nothing and fed the 5,000 with nothing? What's wrong with you? Why are you thinking about bread? But we let that hold us back, don't we? Now, God wants some of you to go to the missions field and minister the gospel so that you have that experience. But you're afraid that he won't provide for you. That's why you don't go. You don't take the first step to get your passport, and you don't take your, you think a lot of other reasons why you shouldn't do this. But if God speaks to you, he's going to provide for you. Amen? He'll help you. He'll bless you. He'll make a way for you. What he orders, he pays for. Amen? I don't mean to say that it's just easy. You know, you just make a decision and you go off somewhere and you're unprepared and all of those kind of things. What I'm saying is, believe the word of God and believe that he will provide for you and he'll make a way for you. And even if it's tough, you'll learn something and you'll grow and you'll be amazed at what he does into and through you if you just take the step. Now, Pastor Sarah, when she went to Argentina the first time, that didn't make sense because she was pretty unprepared for it, considering the tasks she was going to be given when she got there. And she maybe didn't have all of her ducks in a row in terms of provision. And she had a lot of people telling her, this is stupid, you should not go. But she went, she persevered, she stayed there 7 years. She became the woman of God that you see today. And God did great things in her and through her and ministered to a lot of people that she felt ill-prepared to minister to because she had a lot of lacks in a lot of areas. But look how she's grown. She's an amazing minister. She preaches well. She speaks from her heart. She has a riveting anointing. It's great, isn't it? But you see, what would happen if she would never stepped out and done what he told her to do many years ago when she stepped foot on Argentina? Maybe trembling a little bit fearful, intimidated, big time. But God will do that for you. That's why he gives us examples. It's part of discipling and disciple making and being able to see somebody else did this. Somebody else went before me. I don't have to invent this. I can learn from other people. I can learn lessons. I can grow. I can be who God called me to be. So God will provide for you. But look what he says there at the first part of that. He said, first of all, may God's peace be on this house. So what he's telling you for is to look for a person of peace that you can minister to in that place, whether it's your workplace or whether it's actually a house. You're looking for that one person who's the key to open the door for the rest of the people in that house. He's looking for the right person in your workplace that's the key to open the door for the rest of the people in your workplace. Or you can say your neighborhood or wherever God is sending you to minister. If you can find that one person, and that person will receive the peace of God, the blessing of God that you're giving him, that's the key to the rest of the people. And God's saying, look for that person. And if they receive it, the blessing will stand. If they don't receive it, you're a carrier of blessing. Don't be erratic or scattered. Just be focused and do what he said to do. Accept hospitality. If you are on mission with Jesus, he's going to take good care of you. Those who work deserve the pay, is what he's saying. Amen? So expect him to take care of you when you're doing his work. And he will take care of you. Sometimes it's a hard decision. Shall I leave my job and do the ministry? If God says to, don't leave your job if God doesn't say to leave your job, okay? Don't get me wrong. You just don't do crazy things and say it's God and then you have the house fall in on you or something. But if he says to you and speaks to you, prepare for it and do it. Take a step. Take steps of faith and begin to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number 3, verse 8. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if that town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we wipe even the dust from your town off from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than a town than such a town in the day of judgment. Wow, that's some tough stuff. So when you go out there, you don't have to be I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this. Maybe there isn't a nice way to say this. But he doesn't want you to be a wimp. That's probably the nicest way to say it. Go out there like you know what you're doing, because you do. If God sent you, he's going to give you what you need to do it, right? So when he sends you out there to do that, just act like, I got this. I'm doing it because God said do. Even if you're trembling inside, and even if you don't know what the next step is. Because when you take the first step, then he'll show you the second step. It works that way all the time. So if you think you're the only one that happens to, I've got good news for you. You're not the only one. Everybody that walks by faith has to take steps, and many times you don't see what the next step is until you take the first one. So just accept it and begin to do it, and you'll see growth come in your life and maturity, and you'll be able to test the things of God and know when it's God and know when to go. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, if you're welcomed, don't be finicky or picky. Just eat what they put before you. Now, when I was in refugee camps eating, I wasn't so sure I wanted to eat that. Sometimes when I was in China, I didn't know if I wanted to eat this stuff. But Rivka says chicken feet are good for you. And fish eyes are delicious. So just take Rivka's word for it. It'll work. Praise the Lord. Come with us to Malaysia. Come soon. Praise the Lord. They'll take you to, what's the name of that restaurant? Soon Soon Fish Head? Soon Soon Poo Fish Head. Woo! Glory. We're going to that place when we get to KL. Praise the Lord. All right. Pastor Karen says she didn't want to go, but I'm all in. Glory to God. Don't be finicky or picky. Deliver the goods. Heal the sick and tell them why. He said, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. That's what he said to do. He didn't say try. He didn't say pray for the sick. He just said go heal them and say the kingdom of God. So sometimes there are tough cases, but you just persevere and do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you're not welcomed, don't let the door hit you in the butt. If you're not welcomed, wipe your feet off and get out of Dodge. Amen? There's another prospect coming up. Praise the Lord. Don't waste your time. Don't waste God's time. And finally, number 4. Verse 16 says, and he said to his disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. So what do you gather from that? Well, number 4 is you can handle rejection with dignity. Because first of all, it's not about you. It's not about you anyway. You know, we don't like rejection because it hurts our feelings. What can I say? Just grow up? Sometimes your feelings get hurt, but they'll recover quickly, right? Amen? Yes. So if you get rejected, don't worry about it. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's not about you. It's about him. And it's about a good, good father that you serve. Because God has really been good to us. We have the privilege of living in a nation where we're still relatively free. Yes, I know some freedoms have been slipping. And we need to get them back. But compared with a lot of places, this is really a great place to live. I mean, why do you think the world wants to come here and live anyway? If you just thought about that for a second. God has been good to this nation, and God has been good to us. And now we have a responsibility to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because his goodness can transform any nation, any people, anywhere, every time. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what did Jesus teach his disciples? He taught them that it's urgent. He taught them that God will provide for you. He taught them that the kingdom of God is near you. In fact, he's coming back to establish that kingdom forever. Amen? And number four, you can deal with rejection with dignity. Praise the Lord. Maybe the subtitle for this message should be ready for the Lord's coming, because he's coming back, man. And it's coming like a freight train, you know. Wow, what a time we live in. So just in closing, I got a couple more scriptures. We're going to land the plane here. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. It says, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment that he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and are waiting for his return and will be rewarded. So there's a reward for serving God. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. So there's a great message for us in that. If we're going to be doing the things of God, we should be ready for him to come back. Jesus said the gospel would be preached to the ends of the earth and then the end will come. So we can't predict the day, the time, the hour. Everybody who's done that has already been wrong a lot of times, okay? So if somebody says, I know it's going to be on that day, and they give you a date, you can take it to the bank. It's not on that date. Might be before or after, but it's not that one. Because nobody knows. But we do know this. We should be ready. How do we get ready? We get ready by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with our salvation. We get ready by getting the wisdom of God through his word. We get ready by doing what Jesus said to do. That is, be a disciple and make disciples. Be somebody that's following Jesus. Be somebody that's changed by Jesus. Be somebody who's on mission with Jesus. Just get in the program. And begin. Start. Start somewhere. That's being ready. Because he's looking for somebody who's doing what he said to do when he comes back. He's pulling at people's heartstrings. He's just saying, you know, don't make it tough. Keep it simple. And do what he says, step by step. And if you miss something, if you make a mistake, he's not going to whack you across the head. He's going to pick you up and say, come on, you can do this. Amen? All of us have made mistakes. All of us have screwed up. All of us have missed him and messed it up. But that doesn't have to be the end of your life. Just keep going. Get up again and keep going. Amen? If you have to repent of something, repent and get going. Amen? And don't look back. Don't keep bringing it back up to him, because once he's forgiven you, he's forgotten it. He's not holding it against you. Amen? You're free. Praise the Lord. There's a reward for those that are ready. So is disciple making for everyone. Verse 41 says, Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And he said, a faithful servant is one whom the master can give responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding him. If the master returns and finds that the servants has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. It's as easy as that, right? Yeah, I know some of you are saying, I don't want to be in charge. But God will grow you to the place where you can and you will do a great job, even if you're insecure about it. Amen? Because he's not about your insecurities. He's about you knowing that you did something for him and it was all him. Amen? So the less secure you are about it in yourself, it's okay. Because it's a great place for him to prove he is who he is in your life. So just step out in faith and do it. Praise the Lord. So this is what Mr. Barna, the researcher, says. Looking ahead, he says churches need to invest heavily in reaching children and equipping their parents. Listen to that. Reaching children and equipping their parents. Why the kids? Why the children? Because they're the next ones that are going to be running this place. And equipping their parents. It's tough to parent kids these days. Parents don't know what to do because there's so much stuff available to the kids and so much craziness going on. So we need to equip them. We need to help them. We need to pray for them. We need to be a blessing to them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Equipping their parents, offer a solid foundation of absolute moral truth, reimagine typical church services and programs, and foster bold and creative leadership. He adds, like never before, I believe we will need to reimagine and increase our efforts to strategically transform this new cultural landscape with biblical truth. That means we need the download and input of the Holy Spirit on how to navigate the troubled waters that are in our nation. Amen? Does that make sense to you? We need the help of the Holy Spirit to know what to do and how to do it. And when we have that, we can change the nation. It doesn't take a majority to change a nation. It takes believers to change a nation. And if you believe you can do it, you will do it. Amen? By the way, you remember those 36 teams that Jesus sent out that we started with last week? You know, he said he sent out teams. He had 72, and then he had the 12, and he sent them out two by two. Those 36 teams were doing the works of Jesus, all of them. And most of them hadn't been with Jesus very long. So it's not how long you've been a believer. It's what you do that counts. In verse 17, they said, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. And they'll obey you too. Amen? This is Halloween month. So go after the demons and kick them out. In Jesus' name. Amen? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Transform lives through the power of the Word of God and through the truth. So I know everybody, I'll end with this. I promise I will end with this. This is the plane has landed. We're taxiing up. We're almost to the gate. But this is it. So a lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian. She's a Christian, he's a Christian, everybody's a Christian, whatever. And you know there's not a lot of fruit out there proving the statement. But here's a reality. How many times is the word term Christian used in the Bible, in the New Testament? How many times? Three? All right, so how many times How many times is the term disciple?
226.
A couple hundred, right? At least. So, for all the people who call themselves Christians, if they become followers of Jesus, if they allow Jesus to keep changing them, and they get on mission with Jesus, they could be a disciple, right? So all those nice Christians could make good disciples, if you can get them there. But remember, Jesus didn't say, go make Christians. He said, go make disciples. So we got a lot of work to do. Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for these that are here today. Some didn't come today, couldn't come today, got encumbered with stuff or whatever. Maybe weren't even feeling well, Lord. But these came. And I ask you, Lord, you're the one who said that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I'm asking you, Lord, for a special reward to come into each of these lives today. I'm asking you for special miracles, Lord, for special blessings to come to them today. I ask you for a special anointing to come into their lives today, for an impartation from heaven to come to them. Lord, I can't make that happen, but you can. The Holy Spirit can. So I'm asking you in Jesus' name, under his authority, and by virtue of what your word says, that you will do this because I've asked you. You said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. So I'm asking, Lord. I'm seeking. I'm knocking. And I'm asking you, Lord, for this special blessing to come to my friends, to these who have come today. That you will put a special anointing on them, a special blessing in their lives, that you will be their rewarder because they've sought you. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for sending the answer even before I asked you. And I'm looking to hear the good report of the results for that in Jesus' name. Father, I release your healing right now, your healing presence, healing for broken hearts, healing for hurts and wounds on the inside, but also healing for bodies, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Melt away the pains. Heal the stiffness. Heal eyes, ears, legs, feet in Jesus' name. Hearts strong, healthy, well. Blood vessels, arteries, capillaries, veins, all clear and free from debris and blockages in Jesus' name. Bodies free from cancer, healed and delivered and protected and blessed. Because you said you would bless our bread and our water and take sickness away from the midst of us and fulfill the days of our lives, gives us a long life filled with days of good health. I'm believing you for that, Lord. You're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I thank you for it. I thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. And I thank you for mighty miracles. And one last thing, Father. I ask you to use these men and women as instruments for your kingdom, to take your glory, to take your presence, to take your blessing, and to put it into the lives of others. I ask you, Lord, that you will give them much fruit, and that that fruit will remain, and that it will bring glory and honor to your name, Jesus, because you're the one who paid the price at the cross. And for it, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.